Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tujunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
The reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said, "You did not want sacrifices and offerings, but you prepared a body for me. You did not approve of burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Then I said, 'I have come. It is written about me in the scroll of the book. I have come to do what you want, my God.'" In this passage, Christ first said, "You did not want sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, and sacrifices for sin. You did not approve of them." These are the sacrifices that Moses' teachings require people to offer. Then Christ says, "I have come to do what you want." He did away with sacrifices in order to establish the obedience that God wants. We have been set apart as holy because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do by sacrificing his body once and for all. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars tell us that this book of Hebrews begins as a treatise. It moves on as a sermon and closes much like a letter. It's an unattributed text. Some still attribute it to Paul, but most scholars believe it was not written by Paul. The value of the text is that it's there for encouragement for early converts who were probably Jewish. The text is an invitation and instruction into what it means to be a person of Christian faith. Words are intended to bless, not to judge. And the basic assumption of the author is this. First, to announce why Christ came into the world. Secondly, to remind people that Christ speaks through Scripture, and frequently when words are put in the mouth of Jesus, regardless of the text, and this is no exception, it's a what's known as proof texting. Here, the words that are coming from the mind of Jesus are coming from Psalm, one of the Psalms, 1 Samuel and Jeremiah. Christ reveals the uselessness of mere religiousness and the significance of doing God's will. That's why the speech about it's more than just giving alms. It's living gracefully, acting gracefully. And then the reminder that Christ himself lived God's will through his life and work. Christ has given a new meaning to what it means to be a person of faith and offers a new relationship to all with God. So, what does this mean for us in terms of rite and ritual and all of that? I'm sure you've probably heard some version of this. I've heard it in various forms. Usually it's a ham or a roast, but the story has it that there's this wonderful Christmas gathering, and folks are making sure the Christmas roast is prepared perfectly. And there's this methodology where they cut off a part of the roast and they place it not on the right, but on the left side of the roast in the pan. And there's some question from somebody who's a younger member of the family and says, well, why do you do that? And they said, well, we don't know, but let's go ask Grandma. And Grandma sits and smiles and says, well, you know why? When I first got married to Grandpa, we couldn't afford a bigger pan, so I cut off that part and placed it on the left side, knowing that there'd be enough shrinkage. And so this sacred act, this wonderful meal, was sort of demythed. I'd imagine they continue to do that. Maybe you know of these kinds of things. In some households, much like the Seder meal, you set an empty place for somebody who has gone on to the church triumphant. There's a variety of ways of looking at this, and I just want to share some thoughts on what it means to look at the sacred, especially here and now. Abraham Joshua Heschel is one of my favorite theologians, and this is from one of his books. And the title of it is Not Beyond Our Will. And he said, we live by the conviction of acts of goodness. We live by the conviction that acts of goodness reflect the hidden light of His, God's holiness. God's light is above our minds, but not beyond our will. It is within our power to mirror God's unending love in deeds of kindness. And here's the line I love. Like brooks that hold the sky. So what he's talking about is acts of loving kindness, beatitudes of behavior, what it means for us to live those kinds of things. Now, he said also some in this striking two-line sacred deeds, pagans exalt sacred things, and prophets extol sacred deeds. And we can do this. We put sacredness sometimes in the wrong place and forget that a simple act of hugging somebody or writing a note makes a huge difference in a life. He says in a brief poem on trivialities, in biblical days, prophets were astir while the world was asleep. Today, the world is astir while the church and synagogue are busy with trivialities. He's been gone 44 years, and that was then and remains even today a sharp indictment of how we become enamored with trivialities rather than looking at how important it is to speak in the name of justice, to give those who have no voice a voice, to demand that goodness be our highest and holiest deed. Giving is important, and I'm sure many of us this morning were moved by the opportunity to help with the Heifer Project. I think that's a wonderful thing, and I never even thought about it. Somebody out here brought it to us a few years ago. My earliest mentor in ministry left the parish ministry to become a regional manager for Heifer, so I knew what it was, but I never really got sending animals, bees, all these things. And then somebody came to me a few years ago and said, could we do this? And I thought, well, why couldn't we? Especially since I didn't have to do it. And the things we have been able to do through Heifer are marvelous acts of grace. People whose lives are immensely improved by that process. Now, I want to tell you another story, and it's on me as well. I came July 1st, 1990, and along about December 17th, the chair of staff parish said, so who is going to be the Holy Family for Walk to the Manger? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't know that. She said, it was Nez Smith. She said, honey, you've never heard of Walk to the Manger? And I looked at her and I said, Nez, there is a new pharaoh in Egypt, and he knoweth not your tradition. Those of you who know Nez know that she laughed uproariously and threw her head back and said, oh, honey, I'll take care of everything. And she did. And now we have Patty and Nileen and others who take care of this. So this is a tradition of this parish that I will confess that I've not always gotten. But the beauty of seeing the nature of a holy family, holy to us, is a good and grand thing. Now I want to tell you a story in reverse of happening. I was rushing to get here Thursday because I had an appointment to meet with a student who is in need of a recommendation for high school, an eighth grader, who's been here for 9 years. And I confess the difficulty for me is I don't know the students as well as I'd like. I'm still trying to figure that out. Part of it is they're literally growing as we see them. He started as a kindergartner, which meant he was sitting up here in front and was a little guy, and now he's as tall as myself and looks very much different. And Joey Campanella, who's the head of upper school, asked if I would do this recommendation. And I do a little interview. Ken Ellis has sat in with me, and others have. Part of that, I confess, in this modern day and age, is to protect the child and to protect me. But I think it's also an interesting process. And I ask a variety of questions. The questions I ask usually begin with, what's your first and second school choice? And the young man shared his school choices. They're fine private schools. Not that I'm a devotee of private schools. My sons went through junior high and high school here, public education. And they were fine with it. I was fine with it. But I asked then what his favorite and what his least favorite, and got a bit of a surprise. His favorite is math. His least favorite is science, whereas usually somebody who does well in both math and science really loves both, but that is not the case. He said, I do fine in science, but I don't like it as much. Ask about sports, and then I ask about the chapel service that we provide on Mondays, and he was very affirming and said, I don't go to church. I've become very busy. I have soccer and music lessons and other things. And I just listened. I didn't pass any judgment. I just listened. And then I turned to Mr. Campanella and I said, Mr. Campanella, do you have any questions? And he said, yes. Tell me your concept of spirituality. And this young man who has spent 9 years here gets it. I fairly have goosebumps. He eloquently talked about how spirituality has to do with setting your own needs aside, living for others, doing for others because you can. And he said, now, I confess again that I don't go to church. I used to go to church, and I don't know whether you've ever heard of it. He said, I went to Agape Church in Burbank, and I said, yes, I've heard of it. And then he opened the door, so I walked through it. I said, do you know what agape is? And he said, no. I said, it's a Greek term. It means love. And all the world's great religions are rooted in a sense of love. And then I said, have you heard of C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia? And he said, yes. I said, well, he wrote those lovely texts, but he's also he's been gone almost 50 years, and his works are still, all of them, still in print. And he wrote about 1,000 pages on the four loves. And so I walked through the four loves with him, and surprisingly, his eyes did not glaze over. And because I got back to agape, and I said, the greatest things you will do won't necessarily take place in a sanctuary or a synagogue or mosque. The greatest things you will do in terms of faith will probably happen in a grocery store or at a gas station or at school. But before I got there, I have to show you a gift I received. The people who gave me this gift recited a poem, and then after I wiped a tear from my eye, I asked permission to open it. And it's a snowman made of socks with probably used buttons, but it's just sweet, and a crooked nose, and it's just sweet. But here's what had happened. I walked into the administrative office for Wesley School looking for Mr. Campanella, or at least to leave a message that I was here and ready to see his eighth grader. And before I could turn and get out the door, this herd of first graders said, oh, Pastor Joey, we have a gift for you. But first they read this. Only they didn't read it. They had it memorized. And if you can imagine this wonderful little gaggle of first graders standing and looking me in the eye as much as that's possible. It's titled The Gift, and it's purportedly by an unknown author. The most precious gift, I am told, is all the love the heart can hold. I give it to you, you give it to me. There's enough for the world, and the gift is free. Will you take my love, more precious than gold? It's the finest gift that the heart can hold. And then, not printed here, they looked at me and said in unison, will you take my love? And I was done. My friends, that is an act of grace. That is the most powerful thing we can do, is to relate to each other in the name of loving kindness. The greatest things we learn are how to treat each other. The greatest things we will ever do are living acts of grace, not the checks we write. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.